Amen. All right, let's start here in verse 8. We're speaking on the life of faith. The life of faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now that's the scripture that we've been using as a basis for the life of faith. And we've come some distance with this particular topic. And we said some things about faith, that God responds to faith in our lives, that he's looking for faith. And we're going to talk some more about that tonight. Also, we found out that faith is needed to overcome the world. Faith is needed to overcome the world. Now, that's found over in 1 John and chapter 5, verse 4. We said also about faith is faith always declares the outcome before the fight starts. Faith always declares the outcome before the fight ever starts. And also that we are to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, most of the time, as you are fulfilling your purpose in this life and you are fulfilling your assignment, then you're going to have a fight. And this fight is going to be necessary for you to get to where you're going. A fight of faith. Also, there is a spirit of faith. And when we are talking about that, put some things down here, that Romans 10:8 talks about the word of faith which we preach. That's the message. Romans 3:27 talks about the law of faith. That's the application. And 2 Corinthians 4:13 talks about the spirit of faith. And that's the life that we're to live. The just shall live how? By faith. So faith, interestingly enough, really never rises any higher than you're willing to speak or you're willing to confess. So the just have to live by faith, meaning that you're going to have to say some things. Also, we said that faith determines your destiny. Your destiny in God is faith defined, that you need faith to get there. Now that's every time, not one time. So God demands faith. He said that the just shall live by faith. Now, when we're in this earth and we're operating in this earth, God calls us to live by faith. And basically, God gives us illustration in the man Abraham. And it says in verse Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, that Abraham called things that be not as though they were. Let's go over there, please. Romans in chapter 4. In verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I want to stop right there with something. What limits the world should not limit us as believers. Jesus said, you're in this world, but not what? Of this world. In other words, you're not defined by this world's boundaries. So you're not. So he says here, sometimes the doctor tells people there's no hope. Well, I've heard an expression, don't get your hopes up too high. Have you ever heard that expression? Well, I want to say that that is one of the things that I think has even affected the body of Christ. I think we have had our minds and our hope almost on the same level as people who are not saved. And that one of the reasons why I've got Timmy coming here, because I want him to talk about how he's using faith. I'm talking about pushing it out there as far as you can get it. Getting your hopes up as far as they'll go. And I mean, that's what God wants us to do. The tendency is that this body that we have is only a suit. This is not the real you, so it doesn't dictate what you can do. Jesus proved that when Peter said, if that's you walking on the water, tell me to come. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus, meaning that the body that Peter had did not limit him as to what he could do. And your body shouldn't limit you. When God drops something on you, the tendency that we have is to filter it through an unrenewed mind. And by the time it gets down into our heart or wherever, it has come from the size of downtown Chicago down to the size of our backyard. What happened? We're trying to make it so that we, in our natural fleshly ability, can perform this. But when you're talking about faith, in order to make it happen, you have to depart the realm of the senses. Are you with me? For faith to work in your life, let's say something. Jesus spoke to a tree. I want to turn to it. You're going to put something right there because I'm coming right back. And he spoke to this tree in Mark chapter 11. Now, this is a scripture that everybody probably knows and read many, many times. But let's just look at it. He spoke to an inanimate object. And he said in verse 14, and Jesus answered and said unto it, talking to a tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Let's count the words. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now watch this. That's a long ways from in the name of Jesus. Now listen, I've been given authority in this thing, and I take the authority that's been given to me in the name. See all of that? Those are idle words which bring you into unbelief and negate your faith. You don't need all that.
Why do you need all that? Here's a storm coming up to sink the boat. Here's the average believer. In the name of Jesus. What is all that? Peace. Be still. Now, where is your faith? That's the faith of God. Are you hearing me? And anything else drifts you into unbelief, and unbelief won't work. He said it to that tree. He said, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. 9 words. And stepped on out. Came back the next morning and would never have said anything about that tree if Peter wouldn't have stopped them and said, Master, look at this thing. Look at this. He didn't doubt in his heart, but believe what he said is going to come to pass. No idle words. None. Make sense, see? Not many things we ain't going to believe God for some money. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, flailing and... No, you don't need all that. What is all that? Now, I'm telling you something. Because... In 2011, we're going to have to move on. And some of that stuff you're doing in 2010, 2090, you're going to have to stop doing that. Because for you to grow on up, you're going to have to go on up. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Whosoever shall say to this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. Come on. You just said.
Amen. Amen. That's it.
I'm telling you, folks, we're trying to put on a big show. Let Jesus put on the show. Am I right about it? And I'm just saying, sometimes, you know, that's, we got to watch it, because that's the problem. The noise maker's not producing.
Come on.
I'm telling you. I'm just saying that. I'm trying to figure out whether I should say all I want to say here tonight. And you don't need all that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. Are you following what I'm saying? Somewhere it says in the scripture, didn't it say, let your words be few? Well, what is all that other? Well, yeah, what are we trying to do? Who are we trying to impress? See, I'll tell you what it is. Can I tell you what it is? It's a little flesh mixed in with the spirit. That man came in that church that night, and all the deacons, some of the deacons were standing up front, and the man came in the church. He said, I need some prayer. And the head deacon said, okay, we'll let Mr. Deacon Jones pray for you. No. I'd like to have Deacon Brown pray for me. Said, wait a minute. What's wrong with Deacon Jones? Why would you want Deacon Brown? Deacon Brown's got some strong prayer. Well, let me tell you how Deacon Brown prayed. You ready? In the name of Jesus, I'm out of here, you brother, Satan. He prayed loud, and a whole lot of mess came with it. And this other deacon over here didn't pray that loud. I'm not saying sometimes you don't have to shout him out, but I'm saying just make sure that you're not choosing flesh over the spirit. Am I right about it? Folks, I got a feeling that it's much easier than we're making it. Faith is easy. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. In that tone. The Bible says that the graveside of Lazarus, the only reason he raised his voice, why? So that other people could hear. That tells me, on the normal occasion, he didn't raise his voice. The devil knew who he was. He knew Jesus was Lord. And guess what? He knows that you are Lord over him. Are you following what I'm saying? Man, I tell you, we need to walk like royalty. You don't see a king raise his voice. Matter of fact, when he issues a command, he kind of cools down. Off with his head. Are you following what I'm saying? Does the job get done?
Yes.
Closest I've seen to that is the mafia. You gonna get some of me. No. Once you got born again, you have the same faith as Jesus. Now use it. But get flesh out of it. Because flesh comes with all that fear and all that stuff that contaminates your faith. And then the faith doesn't work, so you get louder. Get it out of it. Don't need it. Right now, you can move mountains. I said, right now, you can move mountains. And think big. Big, Lord Jesus. I feel it myself. Think big. When you think that big, I'm telling you, even the brethren sometimes can't stand it. Am I right about it? Think big. When Joseph came down, he received a big dream.
Yes, sir.
Let me just show you how God. When you read scripture, you got to read it by faith.
Amen.
That's one reason he gives it to you, so you can read it by faith, because you'll get something out of it a person who's not born again doesn't get. Let's look at Genesis chapter 15. How we doing? We doing okay? Y'all want to talk kind of soft now, don't you? I don't know about you, but I came from a house that mama raised her voice all the time. You know, to get me to do something, she had to go up a couple of octaves and go up a couple of decibels. You know what I mean? William, didn't I tell you to get your... You follow what I'm saying? So I'm thinking I got to talk to the devil that way. No, devil, come out. Be healed. Are you following what I'm saying? Y'all all right now? Y'all gonna cool down? Amen. Let me finish this. I didn't mean to take this long. What did I tell you to turn? Genesis 15. You're talking so soft, I didn't hardly hear you. Genesis 15. Oh, that's confidence, boy. You know who you are. Matter of fact, I got news for you.
when you really know who you are, when you come on the scene, things start changing. I know. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 15. This is Abraham now. Abraham wanted a child. And it says this in verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own body or bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Come out here, Abraham. Look at the stars. Now, you asked me for one child. Look at these stars. How many can you count? He couldn't count them. Somebody says, the number of stars that you can see with the naked eye is around 6,000. Could you imagine? Not only did he look up and see the stars, he saw a person in every star. And every time he went to bed at night, he saw those kids. And it changed his whole system. He saw them by faith. And I'm saying, if you open up by faith, and you look at the same thing somebody else looks at, you'll see something that they can't see. It shifted his whole belief system. He could see the future. Are you with me? Now, where was I before I went there? Matthew what?
12:35.
I don't want to take you to Matthew 12:35. Wait. I could take you there, but I don't have time to take you there. So let's go now to, I got to finish this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hello. I didn't mean for y'all to get so quiet that we can't even talk here anymore. Are you with me? Okay. Verse 3. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You need to learn to say that in Hebrew. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy what? Heart. And thou shalt do what to them? Teach them diligently to thy who? Children. And shall talk of them when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What I'm talking about tonight is a heritage of faith. A heritage of faith. Turn to Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18. Now, the Bible says the just shall live how? By faith. And this is a case of the widow woman who comes before the unjust judge and demands justice. And it says here, verse 5, yet because this widow woman, this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she's going to worry me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?
though he be long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, here it comes. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what?
Faith
on the earth. Now, this is very serious now, because he is saying here that Jesus expects to find unwavering, uncompromising faith when he returns. It's faith that is the spiritual force that's causing us to get victory. He is expecting to find it. And one generation leaves, and then there's another generation that comes after that. So in each one of these generations, we've got to make sure that faith is in this generation. Now, you've known how people pass on stuff. Pass on bad habits. Pass on diseases. You've heard it before. Well, it runs in the family. And people who get abused sometimes turn out abusing other people. Folks say, well, diabetes runs in the family, or whatever have you. Well, I got news for you as a believer. You're in a different family. Amen. And you've been redeemed from every curse. Amen. And God has no spiritual defects. Your genes are perfect. So once you're born again, the sin line is broken. Now you're in a new family, and the Bible says that you're in a new kingdom. And over in Genesis 32, verse 9, he talks about Jacob said, God, the son of Abraham, God, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and then you know the God of Jacob. So what is he doing? It's the generations that he's passing on here. Now, I'm saying this because it's needed that each generation learn to walk by faith, and that we need to pass faith on to our children. And the Bible talks about Abraham over in Genesis chapter 18. It says in verse 19 that God chose Abraham. One of the reasons why God, well, let me just read what it says. Chapter 18 and verse 19, he says, for I know him, Abraham, that he will command or teach his children and his household after him. And that's one of the reasons why I think you were chosen. Because God knew that you would also teach your kids. You see, if it just stops at one generation, then this earth will go back to the things, some of the things that God doesn't want it to go back to. So when you are having your kids and raising your kids, you are supposed to have faith working in your life. And they're supposed to see the demonstration of faith. You're supposed to live faith. You're supposed to talk faith. You're supposed to think faith. You're supposed to do faith. They're supposed to see a demonstration of faith in your life because you're supposed to be an example for them. Now, I'm saying this because God wants faith to be passed on. And passed on to our next generation. Say amen to that. Amen. Let's go to a place. Let's go to Psalm chapter 78, please. Psalm chapter 78. Hallelujah. Let me know when you get to Psalm chapter 78. Look what it says, verse 1 through 4. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Let's go over on down to verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, So that's the key. Make it known to your children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Look at that. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. You know, I really believe he's talking here about the children of Ephraim who gave up and caved in on a day of battle. And I'm telling you right now that what we have to do in the church is maintain faith in the church. The intellect will not suffice for faith. And thank God for that, but we can't get so bent towards just the book and not the faith that goes with it. That God has this Bible so that this Bible will show us how to work every area of life in our lives. That the marketplace of education, that the marketplace of business, that the marketplace of arts and entertainment, every one of them should be infused with faith. And faith calls things that what? Come on, help me. Be not as though they were. It shouldn't be a disgrace for us to be in front of our kids and say, call things that be not as though they were. Say, baby, it's going to be all right. You just watch and see. I pray that your faith won't fail. Hallelujah. Now, you follow what I'm saying? You remember that story I told you about E.V. Hill and how he was brought up down there in Mississippi. And here he was a very poor black man brought up in a poor family. His father had died. And so his mother was raising all the kids. And so now he was growing up bigger and he had finished grade school. He had finished eighth grade. And then some of the deacons in the local church said, well, Sister Hill, your boy's getting big now. He can help you in the field. She said, no, my boy's going on the high school. And they said, now, wait a minute, you need help now. Your husband isn't here any longer and you need help here around the house and in the field. She said, I understand that, but my boy's going to school. So what happened then? He went on the high school and he got in high school and he finished all 4 years of high school. He was the number one in his class. And he said, oh, by the way, I was the only one in my class. So as he finished high school, now once he finished, they came to us and said, Sister Hill, praise God, he's finished high school. Thank God for that. She said, yes, indeed. Well, he can help you now around the farm. She said, no, my boy's going on to school. She said, now, wait a minute now. He said, now, this boy is big. Now, you need help around here. Brother Hill is not here any longer, and you need some help. Now, let's get in your right mind on this. She said, I understand that, but my boy is going to school. Now, it's through her faith that she's speaking something. I want you to get this now. She didn't have any money, but she had faith. And faith is an international currency. Faith is an international currency. And it will spin in any nation. And so what happened then? Then here's time for school and time for him to go to school. And the bus came. She had saved money for a bus ticket and got him a ticket. Put his clothes in some of those old suitcases that the latches wouldn't work, so she had to wrap it up with some rope. And here he was waiting for the bus. The bus came, and she said, son, now here's all mama have. I have $16.43, and I'm giving that to you, and I'll be praying for you. Right. Well, he said he's seen her prayers before because he remembered when they had no food. And they would go down to the neighbor's house, and at about supper time, the neighbor would offer them supper. Would you and the boys like some kids like some supper? And she'd say this, no, we have plenty, thank you. And he said, he just want to cry out, we don't have anything to eat. What are you talking about? She was calling things. Come on, help me now. That be not, come on now. But she was also passing on a heritage of faith. And that's what we got to do. So what happened next? Out on the bus, got to his school. And once he got to the school, he picked out his courses. And now he's standing in line to pay the money. Now he's standing in line by what?
Faith.
By faith. He only has about $8 now. And at that time, they had no credit cards. You couldn't put it in nothing. He's standing in line. And as the line moved forward, the enemy was taunting him. And remember now, we overcome the world by what?
Faith.
By faith. So we resist that devil. And as he's going forward, the enemy is saying, get out of line, you fool. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. In the other ear, he heard something. I'll be praying for you. And he remembered his mother's prayers when they had nothing to eat. And they'd go back home. And once they went back home, she'd sit them around the table, just like there was plenty of food. And they would hold hands, and she would begin to pray. The moment she bowed her head and start praying, they'd hear a thump on the front porch. Then she'd say, go out there, E.B., and find out what that is. And she'd go out there, and somehow he wouldn't see anybody. But now somebody has thrown a sack of potatoes out there, brought a side of beef or pork or whatever, and so forth. He said every time, he'd done it more than one time. Now, if God can feed them in the wilderness and bring quail that would be so much that it'll be 3 feet high for one day's distance, can't he feed one family if they'll just trust him? I'm talking about the heritage of faith. Now, I'm talking about speaking faith to our children, letting our children see an example of what faith will do. So what happened now? He gets second in line, and a big man comes over to it. He said, excuse me, are you Hill? He said, yes, sir. Step out of line. I said, sir? He said, are you Hill? Yes, yes, sir. I said, step out of line. He was second in line. I've been standing in line here. I'm trying to register. Are you Hill? Yes, sir. I said, step out of line. He said, his head dropped. He stepped out of line. The man took him over in the corner. And he opened up that portfolio. He said, Hill, I don't know what's going on here. But I have all your tuition paid. I have your books paid for. I have $140 stipend a month for you. She said something. She said, I'll be praying for you. Let's look at 2 Timothy. A heritage of faith. In 2 Timothy, and let's look here at chapter 1, verse 5. Paul is talking, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. Talking about Timothy now. Which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded that that same faith is in you also. You see, in these last days, adversity is going to come. And we must give our children the equipment to stand against adversity. Natural knowledge won't do what I'm talking about. So I'm saying to you now, when the battle comes, they can lift up a shield of what?
Faith.
That they might be able to what? Quench, stand. And quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So this coming year is a year of no compromise. No more compromise. Not only are you going to have the faith, but you're going to pass it on. This year you're going to start working on your children's faith. and your grandchildren's faith. And give them the same equipment that God gave you. So when the battle comes, they won't compromise, but they'll win every battle. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for tonight. I want you to remember that story of E.V. Hill. I heard him tell that story down at ORU when I was in seminary. And let me tell you, that story moved me to the point I never forgot it. I never forgot it. And I'm saying that faith must be passed on. Because many times, churches, you've been in here and you go all the way over to church without finding any faith. Jesus said, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Say yes.
Yes,
yes. Yes, he will. Say this with me, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I pray now.
I pray now.
That you help me.
Help me.
To pass on.
The heritage of faith.
To my family.
To my family.
That all to all that you assign to me.
All that you assign to me.
So when Jesus returns,
he'll find faith.
At my house.
At my house.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're here, God's spoken to your heart about being born again. That's the first step to living by faith. Because once you get born again, God gives you the measure of faith. And you'll be able to do things impossible.